This is Fred Blair, the chair of the KPFK Local Finance Committee. Today is July 14th, 2021. This is the KPFK Local Finance Committee meeting for Wednesday, July 14th. I'm now starting the meeting. I'm going to take roll currently. Hold on. Okay, Grace Aaron. Grace?
Here.
Ken Aaron? Ken? Okay. Fred Blair is present. Alan Beek?
Present.
Bella DeSoto?
Present.
Okay. Raven Goldstone? Okay. Dave Johnson?
Dave Johnson is here.
Steve Kaiser?
Here.
Thank you, Steve. Michael Novick? Michael, are you present?
Okay.
Present. Thank you. Lawrence Reyes? Lawrence? Okay, Janine Rowan? Janine? I don't see her on Maestro. Ruth Strauss.
I'm here, thanks.
Okay. Elizabeth Van Gooten.
Present.
Okay. Polina Vasiliev.
Present.
Okay. John Wenger.
Here.
Okay. And I'm just going to see. I don't have everybody in my spreadsheet here.
Theo Rivas.
Rocio Rivas is here.
Thank you, Rocio. I'll see if I've got you here. Okay, you're present. Thank you. And
who was that?
That was Rocio Rivas. Am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Yeah, Rocio was the accent on the I. Yeah, Rocio.
Okay. I think I've gotten everybody. I think I've got 13 people recorded so far. Or actually 14. Two are absent. Okay.
Mr. Chair, this is Bella. Mr. Chair.
Ken's here.
What is your question, Bella?
You just said that there were 14 persons.
I can't understand what you're saying. I'm getting a... Would somebody please mute their phone because we're getting severe feedback. What's your question, Bella?
There are 12 present, and Barry Brooks is 13.
Well, Barry is the business manager, and I'll record him as present.
There are 13 present, and you said there were 14. I want to know who the 14th would be.
I'm looking, we have a guest who I don't know who that is.
Why is that person then counted as present?
I'm not counting them. I don't know who they are. How can I count them?
But you said 14 present.
I said there are 13 present and 2 absent.
Point of order. This is Ken. I had a mic problem. I am present.
Okay, I'll record you as present.
Thank you.
Okay. The two people that are absent are Lawrence and Janine. Okay.
Correct.
Love to the stack.
I'm sorry, was that Michael?
Yeah. I was wondering if we can identify the additional person who's on the call, if they choose to.
I'm sorry? Repeat that.
Can the additional person who's on the call identify themselves if they choose to?
As per CPB rules, they can be anonymous if they wish to, but we have somebody that's using the guest PIN code. If you want to tell us your name, that's up to you. I can't understand you.
Hello, Maria Skelton is here on the call.
Okay. Thank you, Maria. Okay, so we have role. People have received the agenda I sent out on Monday, I assume. That you can also download the agenda from KPFTX from the schedule. I posted it there today. So the first item of business after a roll call, we do have a quorum. The first item of business is to set the agenda and set the time certain for adjournment. Since this is the first meeting I'm chairing of this year, I'm of two minds on saying a time certain. Normally, I would say a time certain of 2 hours after the beginning of the meeting. But we don't have to set a time certain. We can just run the meeting until we finish all the material. So it's up to the committee to make that determination. Do people want to set a time certain? Is anybody opposed to setting a time certain?
Yes, this is Alan Beek. I'm opposed to setting a time certain.
Is there anybody else besides Alan?
Bella.
Okay, well, we'll try it this month without saying a time certain. Okay, so the next item of business is approving the agenda. People have seen the agenda I've set out. You can download the agenda from KPFTX. Is there any additions or changes requested in the agenda? Going once.
Yes, this is Alan Beek. I have requested a change in the call for the fund drive schedule, and Barry has said it's not an appropriate change. We wouldn't make as much money. But seeing as how I'm proposing more fund drive days, I don't understand Barry's arithmetic, and he will not answer me.
Alan, does that have anything to do with the agenda for tonight, for today's meeting?
I'm proposing to put it in the agenda.
What are you proposing to put in the agenda? You want some information on the fund drive? I can put that under
I would like Barry to answer his question of why he says that having more fund drive days means getting less money.
Alan, you're getting into the material, not setting the an item for the agenda.
Asking that item be on the agenda.
Grace, with a point of order.
What's your point of order, Grace?
The point of order is if Alan has a question for Barry, the appropriate place for that is the Q&A after Barry, the business manager, gives his business manager report. That's where it belongs, not as a separate agenda item. So, Alan, we will ensure that you are allowed to ask that question of Barry in the agenda item where he gives his report.
Thank you, Grace. That's an appropriate solution that Alan asked that question during his Q&A period with Barry. Is there any additions to the agenda? Is there any additions to the agenda at this point in time?
Michael Novick to the stack.
Yes, Michael.
Yeah, I did send you, and I don't know if you changed the agenda. I would like us to have a few minutes to do a brainstorm regarding the FY 2022 budget priorities.
If you look at the budget on line 11, there's a review of the FY 22 budget timeline. You can do that during that part of the agenda.
Okay, but I wanted a little additional time. I suggested taking 5 minutes off the decorum discussion and putting it there.
Okay, that's acceptable to me. We'll increase the budget timeline to 15 minutes and make the decorum 10 minutes. Thank you. Is there any addition?
Thank you.
Is there any additional additions to the agenda? Not hearing any.
Fred, this is Bella.
What is your
previously we agreed upon the rule of speaker time. How much time is each speaker would speak?
We're dealing with the agenda at this point in time, not committee rules. I'm ruling that out of order at this point in time. I'll talk about that during my chair statement point six. Actually, I would like to move my chair statement on rules and decorum. I'd like to move that after items 7 and 8, which are the GM's report and the business manager's report. I'd like to make that. I'd like to move that down two items. Is there any? Opposition to that?
What is the reason for that? What is the rationale?
I want to get to the main reports first. That's the reason people come.
This is
Grace.
This is Grace. I approve of Fred's suggestion that we get to the business of this committee first, the financial information. And,
okay. Do not understand.
Okay. So at this point in time,
I move that we approve the agenda as amended.
Thank you, Grace. Is there any opposition to approving the agenda? Not hearing any. The agenda is approved. Okay. The next item is saying that is item 3, which is the date and time and place for the next Finance Committee meeting, which is August 11th. And I have it at 4 p.m. on August 11th. Is there any,
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Bella?
Yes, Bella.
We have been meeting at 4:30.
Would you be opposed to meeting at 4 o'clock?
Yes, I like 4:30. That seems to work well.
Is anybody opposed to meeting, next month at 4:30?
Okay, I think 4 might be a better time, for Barry, especially, who, I'm sure would like to go home. So I would, I'd say, why don't we take a vote and see who wants to meet at 4 and who wants to meet at 4:30, and just the majority, we'll go with the time that the majority feels.
Okay, Mr. Chair, originally there was a vote that was taken 2 months ago, and Barry said at 4:30 worked for
Bella,
him.
Bella, the chair is going to make a ruling. Basically, it's up to the committee members, the majority of the committee members to make that decision.
So take the vote.
I'm doing that right now. So
point of information, please.
Dave, what's your point of information?
Can we ask Barry to confirm if 4 or 4:30 makes a difference to him?
Thank you, Dave. Barry?
Yes, I would prefer 4 o'clock, but if you want to do it at 4:30, it's fine with me, but I would prefer 4 o'clock.
Okay,
yes.
So I'm going to take a vote on this. Just say 4 or 4:30. Grace?
4.
Okay, Ken Aaron. Ken?
Did you hear him? He said four.
Okay.
Four. Sorry, four.
Okay. Fred Blair says four. Alan Beek?
Four.
Okay. Okay, my program is not working. Bella DeSoto? Bella?
Open. Pass.
Okay. Dave Johnson?
4 o'clock, please.
Okay. Steve Kaiser?
I'll like to pass also.
Okay. Michael Novick?
4 o'clock. Remember, we have the governance committee meeting at 7:30.
Okay. Ruth Strauss? Ruth?
I would prefer 4:30, but I'm fine with whatever the majority wants.
Okay, Elizabeth Van Gooten?
4 o'clock.
Okay, Polina?
4 o'clock.
John Wanger? John? Okay, let's see if he's on the call. I see his phone number listed. Okay, I'm going back to Bella. Hello, Bella.
Abstain.
Not Rocio.
Abstain.
I'm sorry. I'm Steve.
You forgot me. Just ask me.
Steve will go with 4 o'clock now too. 4 o'clock's fine.
Who was just speaking up? A woman's voice.
Steve Kaiser. 4 o'clock is fine.
No, before Steve. Who's me?
Bella said she's abstaining.
Yeah, I heard that.
Rocio Rivas wants to vote.
Okay,
Rocio needs to vote.
It's me, Rocio. You skipped me.
I'm sorry. My spreadsheet is not functioning correctly. So, what's your vote, Rocio?
4:30.
Okay. And, Bill is abstaining, and Steve Kaiser?
4 o'clock.
Okay. And, I forgot who the last person who passed was. Was that Dave? No, I don't think that was Dave.
John Wanger did not get the vote.
John? Well, he's not responding. Hold on, see if he, for some reason, nobody is muted, so I don't know what's going on with John. So the majority are voting for 4 o'clock, so we're going to meet, as per the agenda, we're going to meet next August 11th at 4 o'clock. I'll from the audio, I'll get the final vote for the minutes. Okay, the next item on the agenda is approval of minutes. There are no minutes at this point in time. The last minutes we had were from Kim Kaufman in January, I believe. And Kim is no longer with us. So
that is incorrect, Mr. Chair. Bella DeSoto submitted minutes during pro temping. Thank you.
Okay.
So that is a really big violation.
Bella, please do not get personal.
Well, how can you say that there have been no minutes submitted? How is that possible?
I haven't seen your minutes, Bella. Please do not get personal.
Oh, of course not. But you have received all of them. You have been in the meeting.
Thank you,
how
Bella.
Can you say you
Bella, you're just any. Taking. You're wasting our time. So the next item on the next item on the agenda is a report by the GM. I invited Mo Thomas I believe on Sunday. I have never received an email from him either confirming or even acknowledging my email. Mo, are you present at this meeting?
Yes,
I don't think he is, because I don't see anybody by that name on the Maestro Control panel. So I'm going to basically skip that agenda item because, it's not relevant. So I'm going to go, I'm going to point eight on the agenda, report by the business manager. Barry, you have the floor and you can make your business manager's report. Go ahead.
Okay. KPSK's current Bank of America operating administrative account balance is $2,769.64, which is as of today. We expect additional deposit of $23,500 on July 23rd, 2021. I'm not going to go and list the previous three fund drives, so I'm going to skip down to the second paragraph, and I'm going to go to the second paragraph where it begins with KPFK's outstanding accounts payable balance in Great Plains as of June 16th. Actually, that should be July 14th, is $7,555.32. That's a typo. KPFK has paid all but one of the law firm Fisher Phillips LLP invoices, balance owing $4,400. In reference to the union negotiations, SAG-AFTRA talks are continuing for the reduction in employee vacation time and severance compensation. KPFK is in arrears paying essential services by $220,974 for fiscal year 2020. And for fiscal year 2021, we're about the same amount in arrears for 21. KPFK still owes Pacifica Network affiliate $17,000 for payroll advance on November 30th. KPFK continues to struggle in its quest to raise funds during the world pandemic coronavirus COVID-19. KPFK, at the direction of the IGM, has erected a chain barrier across the parking lot to deter would-be patrons and outsiders from parking in the lot illegally after normal business hours. This will provide safety and security to the station and its employees, according to the IGM. KPFK has paid its employee payroll expense for July 15th, 21, and should be able to meet the July 31st, 21 payroll expense. KPFK has paid its employee health benefits for June 2021. The health benefits for July 21 will be paid at the end of the month. KPFK's March 21 employee health benefits has decreased by $3,400 from the previous month and $7,000 for the month of April of 21. KPFK's May 21 profit and loss statement has a decrease of 37% in salaries for May in comparison to October of 2020. I'm not going to mention about that's already self-explanatory for the third-party fundraisers. I'm going to drop down to toward the bottom of the paragraph. That due to the world pandemic and KPFK's cash flow problems, eight permanent employees have been laid off to meet the staff reductions mandated by the PNB, which was effective October 15, 2020, and February 1st of 2021. The summer fund drive will begin on July 20th, 2021. Christine Blasdell, who is an independent contractor, is contributing with three shows for the upcoming fund drive. And those shows are Brent Phillips, Renee Lynn Nutrition, Julia Loggins, and the Lisa Gold program she is donating for free. The Pacific Foundation fiscal year 2020 audit is complete and will be posted on the Pacific Foundation website momentarily for public viewing. KPFK and NEDA and the rest of the Pacific Network is in full commitment of the fiscal year 2021 audit that has a deadline, I believe, of September 30th of 2021. On February 9th, 2021, Pacifica Foundation received its second CARES Act loan of $1.2 million to cover payroll expenses and health benefits for 3 months. Yes.
Can I stop you for a moment? That's an error.
Sure.
The fiscal year for FY21 ends September 30th, and FY22 starts on October 1st. The FY21 audit will be due in June of 2022. In other words, a year from now.
Well, I thought they were going to ratchet up the timeline.
That was just an obvious error. I just wanted to make that correction. Continue to your report.
Okay. Of the $1.2 million, KPFK's portion was approximately $325,000. The PPP2 funding loan ended on March 31st, 2021. the spring and summer fundraising of this year and the fund drives associated with medium to large donations should prove to be good months for listener support revenue, podcast programs, cell phone app donations, and website online support revenue. We have streamlined some of our vendor lists to go with vendors that provide service at a reduced rate. The Pacifica Foundation and FJC has extended the maturity on the FJC loan, $3.2 million to 18 months, to September 30th, 2022. As of this day, KPFK is in dire straits and needs capital infusion immediately. The summer July 20th, 21 fund drive and the funding of the second stimulus funding of $1.2 million to the Pacifica Foundation is crucial in buying some time for KPFK to catch up with the vendor expenses and providing payroll funding for its employees for 3 months. This includes its health benefits, license renewal, insurance premiums, fund drive premiums, property tax, national office, central services, and other accounts payable obligations. All hands are on deck to need to turn around the unsatisfactory financial performance. And that ends the narrative of my report.
Do you want to begin the Q&A after this?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that we did make our payroll payment for the July 15th payroll, as I mentioned in the report there. And that's about it, I guess, for now.
Okay, I'm going to take a stack for people to ask questions of Barry.
This is Dave.
Was that Dave?
Dave, yes, please.
Okay, Dave.
Bella to the staff.
Okay, Bella. Anybody else?
Yes, this is Alan Beek. I want to ask a question of Barry.
Okay, we're taking a stack right now, so you're third on the stack. Anybody else? Well, I guess I'll put myself on after Alan. We'll open up the stack again as we get through the questions. Okay, Dave, go. You have the floor.
Thank you, Fred. Barry, on the fund drive starting July 20th, do we have any estimations for goals or numbers of days? And on the Christine Blaisdell input, I wanted to ask, what is her compensation basis?
Sure.
How much are we paying her? How are we doing it? Is it a percentage? Could you explain that? And
sure.
My third part of my questions is that on the fundraising, where it says the spring and summer fundraising of the year should prove to be good months for listener support, you mentioned podcast programs. Are we in some way able to monetize podcast programs to generate revenue? And also, I'd like to have your input as to that on the cell phone applications as well. And that's my question. Thank you.
Okay, as far as our fund drive, it does begin on July 20th, next week. According to Mo, he wants to go for 3 weeks. And I'm saying, in my opinion, we need to go for 4. So I believe the goal is $600,000, I think it is, right now. And that's what we are shooting for.
Barry, could you repeat that goal figure? I didn't get it.
The goal figure is $600,000.
And my other questions about the compensation?
Christine, we used her on the last fund drive. She submitted 3 shows, and each show was $2,000 apiece. She threw in a 4th show for free. So we got actually 4 shows for $6,000. I believe that is the same compensation she's going to receive for the July 20th fund drive. She's going to submit 3 shows, and I believe she's going to throw 1 extra show in for free.
Can I ask a follow-up question to that, Fred?
Go ahead.
Do we have an analysis to what the cost of Christine's shows were versus the revenue raised? And can you answer my question as to whether or not we have the podcast programs monetized?
Okay, yeah. If you go and look at my report on the program that generated income for the last fund drive, it spells out what Christine generated during the fund drive. And I believe it was just about above $42,000, I believe. Of that amount, that was the cost. I mean, that was the revenue. The cost of it was $6,000. That's what our cost was.
And the podcast organization?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
I don't have a way at this point in time of extrapolating what the podcast revenue is, but podcast revenue is in play. Also, cell phone, if you wanted to donate via cell phone, I believe that is in play too.
Do we have any on that so that we have a podcast figure or a cell phone figure at all? In other words,
I'd have to go and look into that and get back with you on the cell phone and podcast programs. So I haven't seen any kind of report that would give me or give us a number that where podcast revenue was generated or cell phone revenue. So that's something I'd have to talk to Allegiant people to find out what those numbers are.
Thank you. That would be good to know. Thank you, Barry.
You're welcome.
Bella, you're next.
Thank you, Fred. Let's see. So the equation that you just explained, Barry, regarding Christine, you said, I don't know if I heard you right. You said six segments, two for free, or was it four segments?
No.
Two, three. And each is $2,000.
Yeah, the three programs she submitted, and each program is $2,000 a piece. And then she submitted an additional program, but she didn't charge us for that.
So three programs, each two. Okay, got it. Now it makes sense. So when Dave asked for the cost, you did not answer that properly because the cost has to be factored with the studio overhead cost, premium cost, and any pitching assist that may or may not have been used. So all of the above have to be part of the package for analyzing and coming up with a cost per programmer.
Yeah,
there is
I gave you a report that dictated what the premium cost was for the last fund drive. If you go back in your notes there, you should see those. Now, as far as the premium cost with Christine, I don't think that was broken out. I think it just gave you the total premium cost for the whole fund drive.
Exactly. And I believe that the lineup of that report did not make sense, and the column titles that were illogical. So I then explained to you that we need to get that report to be redone so that it makes sense when we get a cost report. And it has to be submitted at the same time we get the fundraising information. Otherwise, the two are detached. They're divorced. Okay, so I have a question regarding we are in arrears to National Services for about $441,000. I would say $442,000 from fiscal year 20 and 21. And the question is, why is it that we continue to see those items as having been paid on the P&L? I would like for you to address that. I have asked that question before. Even Michael asked that question today. Then I would like for you to understand that the fiscal year audit 2020 that I know of has never been posted at Pacifica.org, but you're saying that it is there temporarily for everyone to view it. It has not.
No, I never said that. You misinterpreted it. I told you that the fiscal year 2020 audit is complete. It has not been posted online at the Pacifica Foundation website. It's still in the process.
It will be posted on the Pacifica Foundation website momentarily, for public view.
That's right. If that means it's not on there yet.
Okay, okay. Dan, I need to talk to you about the accounts payable. So the accounts payable report, the aging report, I'm glad that we are down to $4,400 for Fisher and Phillips. But I'm concerned. I've asked you this before, and I have not received an answer. Who is it that we are paying $749.25 for account temp and $518 for account temp? Who are these people, outside contractors?
That was done before I got here. They had hired some temporary workers to do the business manager responsibility, and those two invoices were outstanding.
Okay, I have requested that information, and these are very different persons. Barry?
Yes?
I have requested this information at every month, and the numbers keep changing. So can
the
you
numbers
tell
never change. The numbers are not changing. It's the same thing like that. I have not touched account temp's outstanding invoices, I should say.
So
okay,
who are these
told you what it was for.
Who are these people, please?
I told you who they were.
Who are they?
They are a temporary accounting service.
I understand.
Point of order. This is irrelevant to this line of questioning is irrelevant. The personal name of a past employee before Barry's tenure is not important.
They should not be on the aging report. If these are past employees.
Bella and Grace, stop.
Contractor. This is outside contract.
Bella.
Not employee. And why
that bill is like 5 years old from 2017. It's been on the aging report forever, and it needs to be expunged.
Why?
It's not worth the time to focus on it, Bella. We need to move on.
That's what I hear every month when I ask the question.
It's always true. So let's move on.
Please, let's not, Steve, let's not have crosstalk. Bella, continue.
No, there's just too much BS here, so I'll stop.
Okay. I'm the next one on the stack. Is there anybody else that wants to be on the stack and ask Barry questions?
Yes, this is Alan B. I think I'm on the stack.
Alan, you're correct. Bella, please mute yourself, Bella. There's a lot too much noise on this call. I'm hearing.
Is someone else? No, it's not my line. Please, I'd like to get on the stack again.
Okay, I'll put you on the stack, Bella.
Thank you.
I don't know where the noise is coming from. Please mute yourself if you're not talking. If you don't have the floor, Alan, you're right. I skipped you. That's my accident. I'm sorry. I apologize. Alan, you have the floor. And I'm being very lax on timing here. I'm letting people ask their questions as long as they are gaining information. Go ahead, Alan. You have the floor.
All right. It seemed to me that it would be easier on the listeners if we had 12-day fund drives instead of 21-day fund drives. And then we could have one at the beginning of each month, so the money would be coming in later in the month when we need it to meet month-end bills. And I suggested this to Barry. It would result in 144 fund drive days per year instead of the 126 we schedule now. And Barry said, no, we can't do it. We would have less money. I don't know how he figures that more days means less money. And when I've asked him, he refuses to answer me. I would like to get an answer, Barry.
Because under your particular criteria of having 12 fund drive days, you can't have them on top of each other because that would deter the listeners from contributing or making donations. We have to spread our fund drives apart as much as we can to give the listeners a break between fund drives. That's why we do it structured. The structure is set like it is now, okay, because we need to spread our fund drives out as far as possible. That means we'll be able to have a possibility of making more money. We can't saturate the market, in other words.
What I proposed left a big space of 2 or 3 weeks, including weekends, between the fund drives.
That's not enough days between fund drives. No. We need to have at least 45 to 60 days in between fund drives, possibly, if we can.
Alan, I suggest that you're getting beyond governance into management, and that's not our area. We're supposed to be doing oversight. Do you have additional questions you want to ask Barry?
Well, I don't think Barry has answered that question. He doesn't say why more days would give less money. And he doesn't say why a 12-day fund drive would not be easier on the listeners than a 21-day fund drive. Those are both things that would improve our input, and it's worthy of discussion, and Barry refuses to discuss it. I object.
I suppose you'll tell
Barry to come out and be willing to discuss instead of refusing to answer my questions.
I'm trying to answer your question, Alan. What I'm trying to say to you is that we are struggling from a cash standpoint. So if you do 21 days, we wouldn't even meet our goal to meet of our expenses for payroll, health benefits, and outside vendor expenses. We wouldn't even be able to meet those obligations. So that's why if we can spread it apart 45 to 60 days and then start the fund drive after that for 3 to 4 weeks, we have a better chance of making more money. And that's what we're trying to do.
Well, 21 days is not spreading it apart, it's compressing it together. 12 days would give you a chance to spread it apart before the next one, and then you could have one each month. You'd know they're coming, and they'd be there in time to pay the bills.
Michael, another
would not work, because the listeners would be disenchanted and tired of people asking for money all the time.
Michael, did you ask to be on the stack?
Yes.
You're on.
Yes, yeah. So I hope we can't waste any more time in this. The fact of the matter is that every time we have increased the number of fund drive days, the amount of money we get per day goes down. Having fund drives every single month of the year is a guaranteed formula for Chase Ware, the last few listeners we have. It doesn't make any sense. People will tune in, they'll hear a fund drive, tune out, they'll come back, they'll hear a fund drive. It's bad enough as it is that almost half the year is spent in a fund drive, and we've all received complaints about that from listeners. We can't do a fund drive every month, no matter how many days or how few days we claim it is, because it creates the impression that we're always constantly in fund drive. The fundamental problem is still that our programming is not attracting the listener support base to sustain the operations of the station. And that's not this committee's prerogative to deal with, but the management and the program oversight committee and other people do need to deal with it. And we have to provide a mix of programming that actually attracts listeners willing to support what's on the air. Otherwise, we're failing to fulfill our mission, and we're failing to serve the needs of the community, and we're failing to make our financial nut. Thank you.
I've had the time I asked for here, but I do wish that the board would, or the committee would, undertake to discuss this matter with Barry at some length so that we'd get an answer that makes sense. This answer does not make sense to me. And I think it should be discussed at more length. There's plenty of room for improvement. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. I'm sorry you're disappointed in this discussion. It maybe have to do with your hearing, that you're not hearing what Barry's saying completely. So, Michael, was there a question, Michael, that you put to Barry, or as you just made a statement about the fund drive days?
So.
Okay. Is there anybody else for the stack? If not, okay, but Bella, you've already gone once. Is there other people here that haven't spoken? I want other people who haven't spoken yet to ask questions.
Sure,
Ruth
to the stack.
Okay, Ruth, I'm gonna. As I say, I'm going to go next, and then you'll be next, Ruth. Anybody else to the stack? Okay, Barry. Barry, you say that you've already paid the mid-month payroll. How much was that payroll, by the way?
That payroll was $45,542.
And you paid that so far. And the operational bank account has basically $2,000 in it at this point, and you expect another $23,000. how much will be the end of month payroll?
The end of the month payroll will probably be in the neighborhood of around, I think it's about $50,000, I believe it is.
So it's going to be actually more. Are you going to be able to pay the end of, you're going to be able to pay the end of the month payroll? It doesn't seem like, the additional income adds up to enough to pay payroll.
Yeah. Well, with the residual, money coming in on the 23rd, and then we'll be in fund drive on the 20th, we should be able to make our fund drive, our payroll at the end of the month.
Well, I see. You're depending on the fund drive to bring in additional income.
Correct.
One of the things that drives me crazy about these question and answer periods is that now with the soft fund drive, there doesn't seem to be a boundary between when we're in fund drive mode and when we're in regular programming mode. It seems like we're perpetually in fund drive all the time now. So the soft fund drive sort of drive me crazy because even though we're supposedly doing regular programming, we still are claiming money coming in at the same time, and we're still sort of pitching also, though obviously not as intensely. So I think as treasurer, one of the things that I'm going to make a statement here, that one of the things that bothers me about our income is that we're still running a deficit, even though there are things we're not paying. Looking at a spreadsheet that I received at the National Finance Committee, it shows that this year, FY21, we've only paid central services once out of the we're now in please somebody please mute their phones so we're not getting noise on the line. We've only paid one central service payment, and even though we're now in month 10 of the fiscal year, we're the first month. July is the first month of the fourth quarter, and so we have outstanding debt and central services of $330,000. So we're only paying payroll and essential bills at this point in time. Barry, is that correct?
That is correct. Yes. What is essential to the station exactly?
Do you have any idea?
This is great for the stack.
Yes, Grace?
You can finish, but I'd like to be on the stack.
Okay. I'll put you down after Ruth. Thank you.
Okay.
So do you have any idea how much how much are the deficit we're running every month, Barry, at this point in time? How much is being left unpaid?
Well, if you look at central services every month, you're taking central services payment of $36,829. It's around approximately $55,000 deficit per month.
I believe the central services are currently at $38,000 a month. Plus, there's also a central service for the PRA, the Pacific
PRA,
Radio,
yeah,
which is about $4,000. So that adds up to
$4,019.
So that adds up to almost $42,000 a month. But we're working on reevaluating central services at the NFC, and that should be. We should have a redone central services formula in the next month or two. KPFK's payment is going to go down, but I'm not sure what at this point what that's going to be. Okay, I don't have a specific question. Barry, that I can put to you, okay. other than questioning you about the amount of money that we have in our bank account, if we can make our payroll come the end of the month, it appears it's going to be very close. I'm going to go now to Ruth. Ruth, you can present your questions to Barry.
Oh, I am just here as a seconder. I agree with Michael that we absolutely cannot have monthly fund drives where, you know, things are bad enough as they are. That's the main complaint that people have about the station is the fund drives. And that's to your point also, Fred, that I agree this business of, you know, hard fund drive to soft fund drive or whatever. It sounds like we're in fund drive all the time. So we really do have to, I believe, and I agree with you, kind of demarcate things so that people don't feel like we're constantly asking for money. Even if we are, you know, we need to be as subtle about that as possible, because that's one of the main complaints about the station now. Thank you.
Thank you, Ruth. Grace, you have the floor.
Yes, I just have a question, Barry, and that is the soft fund drive. How much is coming in per day during the soft fund drive? Is it significant? How much is it?
It's not very significant. It's about $1,000 per day.
$1,000 per day.
Between $800 and $1,000 per day.
Okay. All right. And the normal fund drive days are ranging between $8,000 and $9,000? These days, which is
that's
much
correct.
Lower
based upon the last fund drive, yeah.
Okay.
But again, the last fund drive, we didn't have any kind of promotional leading up to the start date. So this fund drive, we're going to have promotionals running before the start date of the 20th. So maybe that, I don't know if that's going to make a difference, but we'll see.
Okay. From your perception, I didn't get the last, I don't recall the last fund drive details of by hour, but in your perception, what's been changing? Did laying off Christine Blasdale have a significant negative effect on the fund drive income? Were other normally well-producing programmers not producing as well? Is it just across the board? Just lower income spread out across the grid during fund drives? Or is there anything that can be pointed out as having a negative effect on the per-day fund drive income? Or is there nothing specifically that seems apparent?
Yeah, I would say that when Christine left on February 1st and Kevin, our program director, left, that had a significant impact on our ability to raise funds during the fund drive, the spring fund drive. It did have an effect also because of the the numbers being down and because of COVID-19 restrictions and quarantine. You take that all that into consideration. But yeah, the employee layoff did have an effect on our fund drive, I would say.
Okay, thank you. That's all I have, Fred.
Bruce, back to the stack whenever.
Bella's on the stack, right?
Yes. If anybody who hasn't spoken doesn't want to be on the stack, Bella, you have the floor. And Ruth, I've got you down.
Thank you. Thank you. And I don't mind anybody else talking before me that has not spoken. Fred, I want to know where you got that number, 300-something. I was not able to capture that number that you gave for what we owe Central Services. Can you repeat that number? Then I have to ask Barry something.
Yes, I'll repeat it, Bella. This is a private document from NITA on actual station payments, and the number is $331,461 is owed in fiscal year 21.
Oh, okay. That came from their summary. Okay.
This is their station payments spreadsheet, which is not, which I have not made public.
Oh, no wonder I couldn't find it. Okay, very good. So I ask again of Barry. I noticed a question that was just posed to Barry. If these layoffs have had negative significance in the income, and as Michael Novick just explained, this is just basic logic that when we continue doing everyday fund drives, it has been killing the station and by extension, the network. And if we do not change this model, this template, as soon as possible, we may not be here very much longer. So there's no reason to ask, you know, if so-and-so was let go, what a negative. These people needed to be let go for financial reasons, and we're still not there. So something is very wrong here, and it's sewn at the hip with the programming. So I want to ask Barry. Barry, you said that the payroll, that would be the net payroll, right, for the first two weeks of July. You said it was 45,000. Did I hear you correct? 45,542?
That's correct.
Okay. How much more will it be on the second payroll of July?
Approximately $50,000.
Okay, so up by 45, okay.
Okay, and Bella, I just want to tell you that from the May 2021 profit and loss statement, that salaries are down 37% if you compare that with October 2020.
Yes, I noticed that. That is
okay.
Good. The thing is that when you give us the accounts payable aging, I know it's not realistic because it is not listing everything that we owe. And that continues to be a dilemma for me as a bookkeeper, because I know these numbers are not correct. So this is why we never know, and we never get a balance sheet or a general ledger from you, so we don't know what's really going on. We get something you put on paper for us monthly, and we get that just either hours before the meeting or the same day of the meeting. And, you know, how can anyone do proper oversight in this manner? It is inconceivable. I am not a robot. I am a human being, and I have a life. And I donate my time to help out as much as I can. But I get no responses from you whenever I ask you anything. Thank you.
Janine to the stack.
I've got you, Janine, and I've got you as present. You came in at 5:30. Janine?
Yeah, that's about right. Yes, that's about right.
Okay. Okay, Ruth, Actually, Ruth, could you wait and let Janine go next, because Janine hasn't had a chance to ask questions yet. Janine, absolutely. Janine, you have the floor.
Thank you. I'm sorry that I was late. I have a work day today, but I'm just kind of piggybacking on what Bella was saying. I'm wondering if the software has the capacity to process and generate the reports, as opposed to something that is transposed by hand. Someone was saying that it used to, that there was a time where you had been, this is to Barry, that you had been printing them out, but that the printouts were difficult to read. Is that something that we can review again? Because for me, I would rather have a timestamp PDF that is more of an official record out of our accounting software.
So what is that you're looking for, Barry? I mean, are you looking for a P&L? I can't give you a balance sheet because the balance sheet's not ready yet for 2020.
So it would be just, for me, reports that are a set. So, yeah, the general ledger that is generated at the same time as a P&L, at the same time that there is a trial balance. You know, that all of those are done within minutes of each other, so that, I mean, does it generate those reports?
A lot of times Netta is not really up to par in putting the payroll numbers together. So when we have a meeting, I may not have all those numbers put in yet by Netta for payroll. So sometimes I can't give you a report because it would be incomplete. But if the numbers
would you be able to give us everything but the payroll because it hadn't been entered, and then do purchase orders for an estimated payroll?
I can do that, but it's going to be incomplete. That's not really a true snapshot of what your position is.
Are you able to generate reports after the payroll has been entered?
Yes. When the payroll is entered, you get a P&L. You get a profit and loss statement. You get your accounts payable outstanding for outside vendors.
General ledger. General ledger.
I'm giving you a general ledger in the past too, before, but sometimes it's not complete.
So those figures never come back. The payroll figures never come back into your system to be updated.
Right. Netta does.
Is there a way to do that?
They're in control of that. I'm not in control of putting the payroll numbers in.
There's no way to populate your reports with the payroll?
No.
That is incorrect.
I mean, that has to be, divvied up between FUTA, the taxes, all that has to be, put in there. And I don't know what that is. The payroll taxes for FICA, SUI, the pension contributions, the 403B contributions, I don't know what that is. They do.
But they could forward that.
Excuse me a second, point of order or something, Michael Newstack. I just added in Lawrence on my phone. He never got the codes to be on the call, so he's on the call now. Lawrence Reyes.
Thank you, Michael.
It just, the only thing that I'm bringing up is that, I mean, for me, financials are official and they should be something that a system generates, and they should all match. Even if you were to, hand input the total FICA or SUI or whatever it is, into your system, it would be the system generating the reports. It's just, you know, it just would be the best way to do it.
Meta is actually generating the information into Great Plains at their discretion. But I don't know when that's going to happen. So I can't predict what they're doing. They're like 3,000 miles away. I don't know. I don't know when they're doing it. But then they do send emails, as you know, like right now we're getting ready to review the May 21 profit and loss statement. They do send the email saying, okay, this profit and loss statement is ready. So you can view it for a complete P&L.
Can I jump in here, Barry?
And what about a general ledger? Sorry, I was just going to, if he could eventually tell us about the general ledger.
So are you speaking of the operating account? Are you just talking about the whole general ledger?
Yeah, the whole general ledger.
I mean, you can, yeah, I can give that to you, but it's not going to be complete. Because there are going to be entries going to be made for the current month.
Just payroll, though.
Payroll, bank charges, all that gets put in. That's why we have a cutoff for the previous month of, I think it's like the 20th working day for the previous month in order to get a complete P&L.
And what payroll company do you know that does your payroll?
The name of the company is called Paylocity.
Okay. I would be curious if there's any way to import their information into yours.
Yes, there is. Yes,
your
there
software.
Is. Yes, there
Bella,
is.
Bella,
there
don't
is.
Interrupt Janine, please.
Well, I'm curious about that because it just seems like we're relying on, not only is the information delayed, but then it's really not part of our system and we're beholden to NIDA all the time. So, you know, if somebody could upload the payroll, then you could generate all the reports that are needed and it wouldn't be hand done. I don't want to belabor it. You know, we've spent a lot of time on just this question. So, but, if we could find that out by the next meeting, that would be great. Like, you know, a lot of times it's just emailing a proprietary file, that is generated for your type of software to import.
Okay, I don't have interface with Paylocity, okay, because the National Board hired Netta to do the financial statements for the whole network. They were hired to do this, okay? So that's why they have oversight in doing the payroll and other reporting for all the units of the network. They were hired by the National Board. So they have interface with Paylocity.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if we could too. That's all.
Okay.
Janine, do you have any additional questions for Barry?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Ruth, you're next.
Okay, thanks. I just want to, first of all, second what Janine said, that just because Netta has been sourced with, you know, this payroll business, there's no reason why, you know, one wouldn't, you know, as the Ronald Reagan, not my favorite, but, you know, trust but verify, there's no reason why, you know, something can't be being done at the local level to make an approximation, because first of all, and I'm new and I don't know, you know, things about KPFK or finances, but the way I understood it, Netta is, you know, all involved in trying to catch up, you know, for the whole network to get to CPB, you know, compliance or whatever. So, no matter what, I think on a local level, even if the exact numbers can't be put together, an estimate could, you don't have to have down to the penny, what was withheld for somebody for FICA, but you know the percents. And so there ought to be able to be some way of doing some local bookkeeping on that. So I just wanted to support what Janine said. Second thing is I'll leave aside, you know, quote unquote, that it is now July of 2021 and somehow we don't have figures for 2020. That seems not too helpful. I'll just leave that as a side, that we don't have the P&Ls for that. But the main reason I went to the stack was that, Barry, you made the assertion that, when we had, Christine and I guess by association, Tony Bates, that we brought in more money, and that of course would include, you know, subtracting or that would include net money, subtracting out what they cost. And that now that we don't have them for some reason, we're not making as much money. I'd like you to, either put that out in a formal, you know, memo to the committee, or else, you know, you can, get my email from Fred and email it to me, but I'd like to know those figures, to
okay.
know exactly.
Yeah, I sent,
thank you.
Okay. Yeah. I sent a, report from the Allegiance of all the programs that generated income from the last fund drive. And if you look on that report, it has Christine Blasdale, I think, mentioned about three or four times in her programs. And you can see how much money was generated through her programs from the last fund drive.
Okay, but you said that, you know, you made the statement that there was a difference between when she was hired and when she was not part of, you know, the formal hiring or the formal employee structure. So that's what I'm asking. I want a comparison from what you said. We lost money when she was no longer part, and I'm not, you know, I'm not facile with going through spreadsheets and all of that. I just would like to know what the difference is between what she brought in when she was an employee and what was brought in when she wasn't. Thank you.
Barry, do you want to respond?
All I can say to that is that she got laid off February 1st, 2021, and we were in fund drive for February, and we were raising a little bit over $500,000 in the previous fund drive. And when she wasn't there, it dropped to like $420,000 for the month of February.
Okay, well, if you could just put some figures together with the net, then thank you.
And I just want to mention that as treasurer, I downloaded the spreadsheets from Allegiance for the last fund drive, which was the spring fund drive from April 20th through June 4th. And I sent them out to the LSB and all the Finance Committee members as Excel spreadsheets. And those are those spreadsheets. I sent out four spreadsheets: one on daily on the daily fund drive numbers, fund drive numbers by program. I think fund drive numbers by premium. And I forget
By date.
Well, I said that by date and also by program, and there was, I think there was also premium numbers in there, and I forget what else.
Yeah.
There were four spreadsheets that I sent out. So that, if, that was not, that was almost 99% completed. I sent it out on the last day of the fund drive. I promised to send out the spreadsheets for the completed fund drive with the final numbers. I haven't done that yet, and I will try and do that when I have some time.
This is Dave.
Yes, Dave. You have something to add to this discussion?
I didn't mean to interrupt.
Go ahead, Dave.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, Fred. I just wanted to address the previous topic's issue. I thought you were finished.
And what do you want? What topic do you want to address?
Well,
Dave?
My question was about our previous discussion about getting the payroll figures so we can get proper P&Ls. And so I would like to request someone, maybe the treasurer, to find out from NEDA if what will be the regular delivery of our information. In other words, are we meeting a day before they would have the payroll figures ready? Are they never going to have it ready by the second Wednesday of the month?
if they are never going to have the payroll available to Barry so that we can have P&Ls by the second Wednesday of each month, I would suggest that some scheduling changes might need to be finished. If this was not a NEDA situation, we could insert estimate figures for each payroll period. So we could take the payroll numbers from this month, first payroll, 45,000. We could take the payroll figure for the second at the end of the month, which we've estimated to be 50,000. And we could just use those numbers, but we would be developing a pro forma P&L. It wouldn't be a real P&L. It would be an estimate P&L, wouldn't it? It'd be a pro forma P&L.
Are you,
so
correct.
I think our choice, our choice is either meet later, yeah.
My question is are you talking about generating a P&L from the Great Plains system? Because, because NEDA, generates the consolidated P&L from their Mass 500, system. So they, my understanding is they take Barry's numbers and put them into their own, general ledger system, to generate.
Yeah, so what I'm discussing is a management
I've got you, Lawrence.
Type solution. It's a management type solution. So in other words, since we have an end of the month payroll that's probably the lagging factor for us not getting the figures for this month of July, our June info, the issue is how quick is Barry giving NEDA that number? When is that happening? How quickly can NEDA turn around? And NEDA ever be able to have the figures ready for us by this second Wednesday of the month? If they're not going to have the figures ready by the second of the month, we would have two options. Yeah, we could do in a normal business where we weren't relying on the NEDA transcription coming from, down south, we could develop a pro forma P&L. But in light of maybe not being able to do that, perhaps, and if we can't get these figures by the second Wednesday of the month, we should possibly consider rescheduling our meetings so that we can have these discussions when the figures are available. That's all I wanted to suggest to the last discussion.
There's
Thank
also,
you.
Dave, there's continuing the discussion, there's also the alternative of sending out the pro forma P&L, a week later on the third week of the month. But I'm not clear what's going on here with the payroll numbers. Is Barry saying that he can't generate a P&L because he doesn't have the completed P&L, completed payroll numbers from NEDA? Is that?
That was what my understanding. Yes.
Okay. Well, in any case, I can ask NETA about this issue and see if they have a solution and get back to the committee by in a couple of weeks.
Yes. That was my request. It was really a point of information because otherwise we just seem to keep talking about the fact that we have the ready and then can't get a P&L. I'm sure we could get a P&L from the previous month by now, but, we just seem to have a time problem there. Maybe we could find out what's possible and what the holdup and what the problem is. Thank you.
Okay. Lawrence, you wanted to ask Barry a question. You wanted to be on the stack, so.
Yes.
Go.
Yes.
You have the floor. I didn't hear that.
Thank you, Fred.
I heard a woman's voice. So what was it? Was that Grace?
Bella,
you've already had two sessions. You've already had two sessions with Barry. Lawrence, you have the floor.
I would like to be added to the stack.
Thank you. So, first of all, I'd like to associate myself with the request that David just made because it's a practical request, and I don't see why a business manager wouldn't have that information. And then the other question I think Ruth was asking Barry about quantification, right? How do you qualify and how do you, are able to set out a financial layout in regards to, who's bringing in what, without having, established some sort of a pattern before the adverse event, which was the layoff of Christine Blasdell. And then after, so I think, and you know, I don't want to put words in Ruth's mouth, but that's what I extrapolated out of what Ruth's request was. So, and then the idea that we have no numbers, no current numbers, it's really not an okay thing. But I definitely want to support the idea and understand the amount of work that you do, Fred, and I appreciate it. But the fact is that we have a bit working with you collaboratively and not that
Lawrence
Barry isn't doing that.
Lawrence, your voice
Hold
broke
on,
up.
Please.
Your voice broke up. I didn't hear what you were saying there. A sentence or two back.
Okay. Well, okay. Sentence or two back. So what I said was that I think it's a practical request that David Johnson made, and the question that Ruth asked was about quantification in order to qualify the opinion, the business or financial opinion that Barry gave, and to set forth the most recent financials as well. So I don't know if a director's request is in order or if Beth is already working on that. But, you know, we need to have updated stuff because there's too much assuming and too much rumor and innuendo going out throughout the throughout KPFK that should be things that should be readily answered and simply answered by putting those things together. So that's I don't know if Barry could respond to that, but I really don't want to hear recent history. I want to see what the pattern has been and what the adverse effects have had on the cash flow and the fund flow of KPFK. So those are my concerns, and then the other thing is, I looked at the email, Fred, and I didn't quite get the 325 email I got was just laying out the financial report, but there was no call-in number. So I've been trying to call in since 5:15, and I'd like to thank Janine and Michael for finally plugging me in. That's all. Thank you, Fred. Thank you, Jeff.
Lawrence, the call-in number and PIN were on the website. I put them up there at 12 noon today, so they're up there now.
Okay, I didn't look on the website, Fred, so I'll do that from now on. Thank you.
This is Grace. Can I have the stack for a short question?
Bella's on the stack, please.
Bella, you've spoken three times, so I'm gonna
Greg,
let you.
Can you see if
hold on?
Can you see if Barry could respond? Okay.
Hold on. Let the chair run the meeting. What I was going to say was I'm putting Grace after Bella. I'm going to let Bella ask some questions and then Grace is going to have her shot. Okay? Okay. So, by the way, this section of the agenda is probably running over time, but I'm going to let this go on because, we only get to talk to Barry once a month. So Bella, you have the floor.
Thank you, Fred. So what Janine and I, what I have been asking for a long time, and Janine has been supporting it because we both understand what reports are needed, are the general ledger. The general ledger can be automatically generated at any given time, but the general ledger needs to be done with a cutoff period of the end of each month. At the end of each month, during that month, all the payroll information would have been entered. Then what we can get when we do meet on the following month is an interim. We can address that through the pro forma. But a general ledger is what shows us what was on the bank.
Would somebody please mute their microphone? We're getting a lot of noise.
Thank you. So we get the general ledger at the end of the month, then when we meet on the second or third, whatever it is, the when we meet, then we get a pro forma. We are not held hostage to NIDA. NIDA works on consolidated for the network. We have got to get back to getting our monthly reports. And when I say financials, I mean a balance sheet, general ledger, and a P&L for those people that don't know accounting. And these are the reports that we need, along with a bank reconciliation at the end of each month. The bank reconciliation shows us if the final numbers tie in to the general ledger cash balance. And that's how we know what's going on. A balance sheet will then tell us how much money we owe and how much money we are expecting to come in. So these are the documents we need regularly. And this is what we never get regularly. Thank you.
Barry, hold on.
I wanted to address Ruth. Ruth, is the fiscal year 2020 audit that has not been posted at pacifica.org, not the P&L. The audit, I think you made a mistake when you said that earlier. Okay, thanks.
Barry? What are the possibilities? Barry, what are the possibilities of getting all those documents? Because this is a broken record by Bella that she's constantly requesting all this material.
I could give you a P&L on the meeting, but the numbers are going to be different than when NEDA actually has the finalized numbers. They're going to be different, and you're going to be saying, well, why is this number different? Why is that number different? You know, that's because I think I did that before, and we produced the P&L early, and then when NEDA came out with their numbers were different than mine. And you said, why is that number changed?
Understood, Barry. But how about a monthly balance sheet? Is that possible from the Great Plains system?
Yes, and a general.
Bella, yeah, you don't possible. Have the floor, Bella.
I do have the floor.
No, you don't, Bella. I'm the chair. Now, please do not talk. Barry, can you generate a balance sheet on a monthly basis?
I can give you a pro forma balance sheet. That can be produced in Great Plains. Yeah, it'll be a pro forma balance sheet.
Bella, don't talk up. I'm talking to Barry. Barry. God, I've forgotten what I was saying now because of Bella. What does the word performa mean in this case? Is it just a proof balance sheet? What does performa mean in terms of a financial statement?
A performa balance sheet is basically a snapshot of the organization at a particular point in time, on that particular day. Okay? That's what it is. It shows you how much money you have in your checking account, how much money you owe to outside vendors, liability. It shows your cash position, if you have a savings or what have you. But that's what a balance sheet tells you. And it also tells you how much you owe to your intercompany unit. Like you might owe the national office, like you said, $320,000. But that would be a liability on the balance sheet. But it'd still be a performer balance sheet.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Grace, you have the floor. And then after Grace, I'm going to end this agenda item. This is we have to move on.
Yes, I would appreciate that. And I did want to, in the next agenda item, explain why the audit hasn't been posted yet and the situation with the pension plans. But anyway, that'll be in the next agenda item. I only have a little question. I want to clarify something that Barry said. Barry, I think you said that our monthly shortfall at KPFK. In other words, we are spending approximately, from what you said, $50,000 more than we're bringing in income, which includes in that $50,000 figure, includes about $40,000 or $42,000, something like that, in central service payments that we're not making currently, and some other money. Can you give me, Barry, can you just restate that? How much is our average current monthly shortfall, and what does it consist of?
Yeah, the shortfall per month is about $55,000, and that consists of the essential services payment, which is $36,829 to the national office, and then it also includes professional fees, legal fees that we're trying to pay off, in addition to some of the outside vendors that we're paying, like Southern California Edison for running the Mount Wilson transmitter. I mean, that's very big expense. That's like $7,000 and $8,000 per month for Southern California Edison.
Okay, so to sum that up, we're currently running a deficit of about $55,000 per month, even after the layoffs that have been made earlier. That sums it up, correct, Barry?
That's correct, because of the non-performing fund drives, exactly.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I hope we can move on to the next agenda item. Thank you very much.
This is Alan Beek. I must excuse myself from the meeting for a battery going flat. Good night.
Bye, Alan.
Good night, Alan.
This is King Riley. This is King Riley. I signed on at 5:33.
Okay, King. We got you. Do you intend to become a member of this finance committee in the future?
I would like to. Yes.
Okay. I'll put you down as official. You came in at what? 5:43.
5:33.
5:33. Okay. Thank you, King. So the next item on the agenda is item 9, which is a discussion of the Pacifica P&L financials. I sent out the P&L, the May P&Ls from NIDA on Monday, I believe it was, to the LSB members and everybody on the finance committee. And also, I believe, to Barry and Mo. Could somebody please mute their phone, because I'm hearing echo. Did everybody get those P&L statements?
Yes.
You sent this out July 13th. Fred, is that right? I got it.
Yeah, but I sent it out. I believe I sent it out on the 12th, Monday. But in any case, you may have gotten it on the 13th. In any case, I'm in a little bit of trouble because would somebody please mute their microphone, because I'm hearing nothing but static. So I'm a little bit of trouble with the NFC because the rule at the NFC is that NIDA sends out the monthly P&Ls to the National Finance Committee and to the managers at each of the stations, and to the directors on the National Finance Committee, and we're supposed to have a week to go over those and find errors and to analyze those before they get sent out to any of the LSBs or outside of Pacifica. I sort of broke that rule. I wanted to get the financials out to people here at the Finance Committee to give people a sense of where Pacifica is at this point in time. But I may get dinged for that. But in any case, I did what I did, and it's I can't take it back. So, I sent out the May financials. The big picture, if you listen to the NFC last night when we discussed these, is that, if you look at the consolidated numbers on the consolidated pane, Pacifica looks like it's in pretty good shape. This year we have over $1 million, or actually $1.1 million more in income than we did have in fiscal year FY20, which was last year. And by the way, the FY20 audit is complete, though it hasn't been posted on the Pacifica website yet. It's complete.
Lawrence and Stack.
We will be finishing financial year FY21 in September 30th, and FY21 will be due next year in June. So, okay, Lawrence, the chair is
Thank
speaking.
You. Thank you, Fred.
What is your question, Lawrence? I'm trying to speak about this.
I just want to, go ahead. I'll wait till you finish speaking. I just want to, as a member of the audit committee, I just want to add some information. I want to get some good news in regards to the audit.
Okay.
Audit.
After I speak, I'll let you do that. Polina actually gave us the good news about the audit but I'll let you make that presentation to the public. Okay. So,
thank you.
So basically, we're currently in fiscal year FY21, which will end in September 30th. And the audit for FY21 is due next June. Year 2022. So, just to keep the timeline straight. In any case, looking at the P&L, Anita Sims, Pacifica CFO, spoke last night at the NFC, if you look at the consolidated numbers, Pacifica looks like it's doing pretty good because, our income this year is $1 million over what it was at the same time last year. Of course, most of that money is the PPP money, the payroll protection plan money from the government, which was $1.2 million. But still, brought our income up, considerably and makes us, and so Pacifica National or Pacifica overall, income-wise is about $1 million in the black as compared to last year. But I'm going to now drop down to the KPFK financial pane. KPFK also looks pretty good because of, again, this is a distortion by the PPP money. We got in January, we were credited with $322,000. That's actually the PPP one money that we received in fiscal year, or actually in year 2020. We haven't been credited yet with the, on the P&Ls by the second, PPP loan. That will come later. After the government has forgiven that loan, which Nita expects to happen, but in any case, if you look at KPFK's income on line 17 of the P&L of the KPFK pane, we're about $162,000 more positive this year than we were last year. And of course, last year we ran a deficit of $700,000. So income-wise, we are up by about up about 8%. And our expenses are actually about almost $188,000 less this year than they were last year, mainly because of the staff reductions and payroll reductions. But this fact is that we're still running, even with the PPP money, which is masking things, we're still running, as Grace pointed out, about a $50,000 a month deficit. we're not in a good, we're not in good shape. And our payroll has gone down about, $25,000-$30,000 a month. We were running a payroll at the beginning in January, about $75,000 of payroll. We're now down to about $50,000 of payroll. But again, that's not enough money, considering how much expenses we're generating. So, I'm going to leave it there for what the treasurer has to say, and I'm going to go to Lawrence. And Lawrence, you want to give us the good news about the audit, the FY20 audit? You have the floor. Right. You have the floor.
Reason, thank you, Chuck. So the other reason that the audit has not been posted, and Grace could verify this as well, and possibly others, is because the audit is an amended audit is going to be submitted that's going to reduce some of the debt from our $300,000+ to down to $20,000+. So that's why an amended audit will be submitted by the auditor. So that's the good news. So that will put us even in better shape. The fact that we got the audit done early, and we're going to be starting the FY21 audit much earlier than we normally started, really bodes well to the hard work and to our responsiveness to stabilizing the network financially. So that's all I wanted to add. Thank you.
Thank you, Lawrence. So I'm going to basically, Beth, since you also are on the National Finance Committee, do you want to say anything at this point in time?
Not at the moment. I think what Lawrence and Paulina have already announced was most of what I'd have to say now. I heard more about it last night, and I got the same email that other people did. It's not that we didn't get our audit in on time. In fact, we did. We met that deadline. But there was new information, more complete information that was available after the deadline that we're being allowed to use to amend the audit, such that it improves our standing, which we're fortunate a few ways over there. So that's enough for now. That's enough for now. Thank you.
So at this point, I'd like to open up a discussion by the Finance Committee of the P&L and what, if there are numbers that other people have gleaned from the P&L that illuminate the status of the station more. Then I can say in a few words.
This is Grace. Can I just make a clarification about the audit and the pension plan situation?
Go ahead, Grace.
Okay. There was an entry from, we don't know where it came from. I just spoke with Eileen Rosin, the chair of the audit committee today. The reason I spoke to her is that I am on something called the Pension Plan Administrative Committee. So it's my responsibility to try to get these things straightened out. There was a number in the 2020 audit, and it carried over at least partially to the 2021 audit, that there was a debt to the pension plans of $547,000 in pension liabilities. Now, that just was some number that Sam Agarwal put in there a long time ago. It's not a correct number. So that was straightened out. Basically, a few years ago, we had been delinquent and making the stations making payments to the pension plans, and I'll explain the two different pension plans. But And there was an investigation by the IRS, and we had to hire lawyers because there were possibly sizable penalties involved in those monies not being put into the pension plans the way they should have been. Okay, now that money, there were certain monies owed by KPFK and KPFA. The reason for that is that those two stations have the most employees, and they happen to be delinquent in remitting money to the pension plans. But that was all sorted out about 2 years ago, and the pension plans were fully funded at that point. Now, there were two pension plans, one of them, which was just called a pension plan, and the other one was the 403B, which is the profit-sharing, not profit-sharing, but the other pension plan.
Non-profit.
So the pension plan, the original pension plan from many years ago, has been dormant for several years. What that means is that no new people were added to that plan for at least 3 or 4 years. However, of course, Pacifica still has the obligation to fulfill the pensioners who were in that plan previously, and that is actually actively being done. Many of them, we couldn't even find them, but it was our obligation to find them and offer them the money that was owed to them or have them shift to the 403B, whatever. So that's an ongoing thing, and that plan was closed. So we now, it was very confusing having two pension plans. So we now just have the pension plan, that the employee pension plan, which is a 403B. And that's ongoing, of course. It's solvent. We don't owe any. I think that what we owe is coming up. There was erroneous information in the audit. That's why the regular audit, is going to be reissued. Now, there is a problem with the only problems with the pension plan ongoing is the pension plan audits. There's separate audits for the pension plans, and the pension plans audits are backlogged by a few years. So we're going to have to make sure that those separate audits are completed, and that will be done. We'll try to do that as quickly as we can. A separate audit firm does the audit of the pension plans and all the financial information that goes into that pension plan audit. So that will be done soon. But enough accounting was verified by the auditor to have us understand that there's a small amount owed to the pension funds of about $7,000 or $8,000, and that's it. Otherwise, we do not have any outstanding debt to the pension plan. It's solvent. Also, there is plenty of money to fulfill all the pension plan obligations. It's held in a separate fund. The stock market's been doing well, and that money has been well taken care of, and it's set aside, of course. And so there is no problem with the one remaining pension plan. So I hope that clarifies that. But the regular audit is being reissued to correct the incorrect information that was held over from years ago about arrears, pension plan arrears. And also, there was some disclaimer that because those pension plan arrears were not clarified, there was a disclaimer in the audit, and that disclaimer is being removed. So there's no cloud on the audit. So I know it's a little bit confusing, but I hope that clarifies that point.
Launch to the staff.
Josh, with a question to the staff.
Beth, you. I'm sorry, I got Beth, Lawrence, and who else?
Steve?
Okay. So
Steve
Dice. Lawrence, you have the floor, and then Beth, and then Steve.
No, I think what's in order, Jay, is for the question to come first, then I could go after Beth, if that's okay.
I didn't hear that.
I'll let Beth go first.
I think the request for information is first, and then I will just add briefly to what Greg said.
Request for information.
I can be brief.
Go ahead, Beth.
I can be brief. Thank you. Grace, it's my understanding that an audit for pension plan is not nearly as complicated as the standard audit for the entire organization, and therefore that these shouldn't take that long to complete. Is that correct?
Probably. But there is some, we have to decide. There are filing fees, and if we file four audits at the same time, since they're delinquent, if we file them all at the same time, it will be one filing fee. If we file them in two separate bundles, it'll be double the amount. So we have to figure out if it's worth it to file, probably it's worth it to file like two audits and then work on the next two and then file those. But it shouldn't be a big deal. Yeah, you're correct. It's a less complicated audit, and they should have been already completed. I don't know what the holdup is, but we have to get that resolved and get those audits done.
Thank you,
Lawrence. You have this floor again.
Thank you, Jeff. I'm just going to be real brief. I'm also a trustee on the pension plan. And I think when we talk about auditing the pension plans, I think mostly what we're going to concentrate on is making sure that the payments to the pension plans are being made and the remittances also are being made. And we are, as Grace said, we are completely solvent in our pension plans. And, I mean, we're looking better and better as we progress. So I just wanted to add that. Thank you.
Thank you, Lawrence. Steve, you're next, and then Bella.
Grace, you mentioned a second pension plan that's now gone. Was that a defined benefit plan that's no longer in effect? Do you remember?
Yes, that's correct, Steve.
It was some sort of a profit-sharing plan.
And that's where the contributions are in arrears. Is on that defined pension, defined benefit plan.
No, that is not correct. Not correct.
The contributions to the defined contribution plans were also in arrears?
The only arrears were in the 403B. The pension plan that's been discontinued was a voluntary plan. We did not have to make an employer match unless we chose to.
Oh, okay. So there was no arrears connected to that plan.
There were no arrears in that plan. The problem with that plan, I'll tell you exactly what the problem is because I did a lot of work to debug it, and that was that we lost the written ledger that listed, and so we had the names of pensioners, but we did not have any contact information for them. We did not have the census information. So I crawled around the national office when it was in Berkeley to try to find that census information. And there was not a lot of money involved, but it's unethical, even if you owe somebody 20 cents, not to give it to them. So that was the big problem with the old pension plan that's been discontinued. But that's all been sorted out. It was very, very tedious. We had some of the census information, but not all of it. And I found some of the people. They were employees in 1993, 1994, left staff in 1997. It was that kind of thing. Some from the early 2000s. But these were files that we were lost and had to be recreated and hunted down. And that was the problem with that plan.
Thanks for your good work, as always, Grace. The existing 403B, is everybody going to be entitled to get into that plan, or do you have to be with Pacifica for a year or two to be eligible to join the plan?
I'm not conversant with the union negotiations. You're probably not eligible until you're employed, if I'm remembering correctly, for 6 months.
but you know, and people will have to opt into that plan.
Right. Okay.
Can
great.
I respond to that?
Thanks very much.
Right.
Go ahead.
I have a sense that employees that were on the previous pension plan will automatically be merged in to the new, not the new plan, but a new debunked plan, as Grace called it. But there is a probationary period before people are entitled to that benefit, as you know, to union contracts and the such.
Okay, great. Maybe thanks. More.
Steve, are you finished?
Testing the mic.
Yeah, I'm done. Thanks.
Okay, Bella, you want to be on the stack. You have the floor.
Thank you. Yes, I wanted to let everybody know that I am about to send everybody the fiscal year 2020 balance sheet, and it will be an attachment, and it is from QuickBooks, and you will see it.
Bella, I want to let people know that that's not an official Pacifica financial document. That's your document.
Everybody knows that. Everyone knows that. Everyone knows that, Fred. So I am just sending it out so that people can look at it before you get the final audit posted at Pacifica.org. The other thing is that I personally feel that this body is useless without receiving the monthly necessary documentation so that it can carry out its oversight charge. And you, of all people, as treasurer, should make sure that this was being done years ago. But yet you have been treasurer for I don't know how long, and this is why we are where we are. Thank you.
Thank you, Bella. Okay, well, I'm going to return to the agenda, which was trying to do a discussion of the P&L. Do people want to have, at this point, I want to open up the P&L to questions and answers. Does anybody have any questions or questions or insights that they want to make at this point from the P&L from the May P&L from NETA.
Bella to the stack whenever.
Oh, shit. Yeah, Fred, Steve also.
Okay. Anybody else? Anybody else? Please don't curse Steve. We all have delicate ears here.
I don't think I said a word.
Okay. Okay, Bella, what... You have a...
Okay, this is very quick, yeah. So, you know, the P&L, okay. I have asked, I don't know how many times, of Barry. We have had incredible figures, charges that have been paid for travel. This is going back to 2018, to date. And I want to, actually, from 19 to date, 2021, and I want to know why and who actually incurred
what
those
line?
Charges.
What line mm-hmm. number?
65.
Travel.
65.
65. See,
travel. 65.
Well, you can Barry's still here. You can ask him.
He is here.
Okay, Bella, that charge for $6,685 for the travel for Mo Thomas going back and forth from Washington, D.C. to California, and then paying for his hotel, his meals, and everything when he's out here. That's what that is for.
Okay, what about before that?
The 2007-30, the same thing. He came out here, I believe, in April, I believe, on a short stint, and we paid for that, too.
Okay, so bypassing Mo, which I understand that cost. Who else has been paid for travel?
Okay, we haven't paid for travel since all of this year, of October 2020.
Yeah.
Nobody else is being paid. Nobody else is being paid for travel.
In 2019, who incurred 16,000 plus?
In 2019, that was Aniel. He made a couple of trips. Well, he did a trip to Miami for a conference down there.
Wonderful.
Paid for that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And that was 16,000 plus?
No. Also, we also paid for Margaret Prescott's trips to Haiti. She did, I think, two trips to Haiti. Down there.
Hey, I got to get on that list so I can go around the world. What about that before that? That large number.
Well, that's what that 16,000 comprises of, yeah.
And 19?
I think Margaret did a show down there, some kind of covering the impoverished communities of Haiti. And she took an assistant with her to cover that. And that's what we covered her airfare. And that's it. I think we just covered her. We didn't cover her hotel. We just for her airfare to and from there, and her transportation to the airport.
Okay. What about Christine Blasdale? How much have we paid for her travel?
Christine made a couple of, she did a conference down by LAX that we paid for, and she did another conference, I believe, in Santa Barbara, I think we paid for it. So that was approved by the general manager.
How much has been paid for Christine going to Australia?
Yes.
We didn't pay for her trip to Australia.
She has made there's no airfare
being paid by for Christine to Australia. That's out of her own pocket.
Okay. And who else do we pay travel? Have we paid travel for?
That's it. Just Aniel.
Well, it's a very large number.
Aniel, Margaret Prescott, and her assistant, and that's it.
Okay. Not satisfactory, but it will have to do. And what about that general ledger that we are asking for? Can we start getting that at the end of each month?
Possibly, yeah. I'll have to see if how it comes up.
Along with the bank reconciliation patch.
I gave you guys the bank reconciliation two meetings ago.
I gave you the check register and
the bank reconciliation.
Bella, you're getting off topic. You're off topic at this point.
I'm not off topic. This has not been resolved. Every month we come here.
Bella, I'm ruling you out of order. Please stop. I'm giving the floor over to Steve. He wanted to ask a question. You have the floor, Steve.
Yeah, thanks. I just wanted to ask on the statement, have we made in the current year any payments to the central services? I think it's indicating here that we paid in
paid in March.
Pardon me?
We paid in March 21. We paid $36,829.
Oh, okay.
And I think we paid in November too.
And then up on the income thing, miscellaneous other income, we seem to have had a lot that came in January, like $320,000. Was that the PPP loan, Barry?
That is correct.
Okay.
PPP.
So we're showing that loan as an income flow, I guess, because for one thing, it's not an obligation that we're going to be expected to repay.
Right. It's been forgiven, yeah.
But now it's showing up about $330,000 or $20,000 on this. Didn't you say the overall loan was pushing something like a million?
Yeah, $1.2 million, for all the units in the network.
Oh, okay. So we just got KPFK share here.
Correct.
Okay. All right. That does it. Thank you much.
Okay. I think we're running over time. It's 6:45 and the governance committee meets at 7:30. That's 45 minutes from now. I still have two items on the agenda. I'd like to move the agenda to news, updates and news from the NFC.
Beth, do you want to say anything about the NFC at this point?
The NFC has been tied up for the last couple of few months with finalizing, getting our audits up to date. And now having done that, we're beginning to catch up with the regular monthly financials and reviewed a couple of sets last night. And we anticipate that the coming year's audit will begin on time and be in on time, and that hopefully we'll set a regular pattern from that point on so that that will no longer be an issue. We're working on a similar schedule to complete all the budgets in time to begin the budget process on time and have budgets in place at the beginning of the fiscal year in the beginning of October for all 8 units. We've got 6 budgets in for 6 of the units, and the remaining 2 are KPFK, because I don't even need to explain that to the, this is the one group I don't need to explain that to, because you've lived the whole thing. But that is the next one up, and from that point then we'll be able to calculate the budget for the national office, and that will complete all 8 budgets. That will be the first time they'll all be complete in 6 or 7 years, and hopefully that will set us up to begin a regular, normal budget process and schedule, which I would hope would work wonders for our financial realism, so that we can be more realistic in all our financial habits.
Also,
so
part of that process is we will be finalizing the central services payments when we talk about the budget for the national office, so that we will be revisiting the central services formula and finalizing it, and we will know what KPFK's central services will be going into the future. So this now leads into the final item on the agenda, which is a review of the fiscal year FY22 budget timeline. I sent out a draft timeline with the documents for this for the Finance Committee. Michael, you wanted to brainstorm about the FY22 budget. So do you have something to say at this point in time? Hello, Michael? Oops. Did we lose Michael? No, he's still here on Maestro. In any case, the budget timeline for the FY22 budget. At this point in time, management is supposed to be preparing a draft budget to present to the Finance Committee. People may not be aware that the draft budget is just the beginning of the process. Once management, what the budget does basically when we get it is it's supposed to make public management's plans for the coming fiscal year, and that's supposed to set off a discussion between governance and management about what the station's priorities are, what we see as being feasible amounts of income that we can raise. This is a bi-directional discussion between governance and management, and it should go over several months. in time scales so that allowing management to refine the budget and governance to have input into what we see as the priorities and for the organization. And so I'm not I don't have the budget right in front of me at this point in time. Bethy, do people want to talk about this, or do put this off until next month's finance meeting? Hello?
I vote for next month.
And I'm sorry, and I didn't recognize your voice. That was
Steve recommends going next month with this.
Okay. I'm kind of wiped out as after chairing this meeting. It's been 2 hours and 2 hours and 10
Motion
minutes.
Motion to adjourn. Motion to adjourn.
Well, that's not Bella. Debatable. Is there any opposition to adjourning at this point in time? Hearing none, we are adjourned. Thank you, people.